Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. There will be legal challenges, but Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill establishing one of the country's most restrictive social media bans for minors.
Being buried in those devices all day is not the best way to grow up.
It would ban social media accounts for those under age 14 and require parental permission for 14 and 15-year-olds. Florida House Speaker Paul Renner says it does not target speech.
What we have addressed is the addictive features that are at the heart of why children stay on these platforms for hours and hours on end.
The law takes effect January 1st. A mixed day in courts in New York City for Donald Trump. An appeals court slashed by more than half the amount he'll have to put up for a bond to appeal the business fraud judgment against him, and gave him 10 days to do it. Another judge ruled his hush money trial will begin April 15th. This is ABC News. In Walterboro, South Carolina,
after much reflection, I have decided that it is best not to run again for re-election.
Colleton County Court Clerk Becky Hill quitting. She's been accused of jury tampering in the double murder trial of disgraced attorney Alex Murdaugh.
Managing a trial with such importance to the people of South Carolina, as well as of the national and international media interest and public scrutiny, and has caused me to reflect upon decisions involving my stay in the office of the clerk of court.
The state is also investigating whether Hill abused her office for financial gain. We have learned of the death of author Laurent de Bruinhoff. He revived Babar after his father's death, the popular picture book series about an elephant king. He released dozens of books about the elephant who reigns over Celesteville, including Babar at the Circus and Babar's Yoga for Elephants. Laurent de Bruinhoff was 98. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republicans are faulting Northeast Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher for leaving the U.S. House before his term is over. Roger Roth tells the Journal Sentinel he's disappointed by Gallagher's decision. Andre Jacques says he'd be in favor of a special election. As it is, the seat would be vacant from late April to early January. Officials are investigating complaints of phony and forged signatures on recall petitions targeting Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Dawn Haggerty says she called the Racine County District Attorney's Office after her signature was forged.
And I also called the Elections Commission to ask if there's a way to get my name redacted off the list because this doesn't represent me.
Haggerty spoke to WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Marquette headed to the Sweet 16. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles held on to beat Colorado 81-77 in the men's NCAA basketball tournament. Up next, they face North Carolina State Friday night in Dallas. Shaka Smart has Marquette back to the Sweet 16 in just his third year as head coach.
Man, they're a talented, talented team, and they got going in the second half. But our guys never blinked. You know, down the stretch, we got enough defensive stops to win the game.
Bucks head coach and Marquette alum Doc Rivers.
I talked to Shaka after the game, and
There were five times I thought tonight where Marquette could have let go of the rope because they kept scoring. Colorado just puts pressure on you.
The Bucks got a decisive win, 118-93 over the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Bucks host the Lakers tomorrow night. Badgers basketball sophomore guard Connor Asegian has announced he plans to leave Wisconsin and enter the transfer portal after his team lost to James Madison. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain in upper 40s for the overnight with gusty southeast winds. Some of that rain will be locally heavy. Rain will end Tuesday afternoon. Cloudy skies, lower 50s by lunchtime, will fall to the mid-40s by the end of the day. Currently 49 degrees.
Tune in Tuesday to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show 1 week until the Wisconsin primary and a wake-up call. Devil's Advocates across the state, 4 to 6.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And apparently because of this power failure we had on Friday, we're having some internet and connectivity issues right now that we're trying to work through. And, unfortunately, our engineer is out of town. So we're trying to do it ourselves. We were trying to get Alex on the phone this morning. And in fact, our phones have croaked as well. So, but the topic that Alex was going to be on to talk about, and I think I can do that for the moment while Mark and Nate are trying to get our phones working anyway, and everything else working back up again, is this whole thing of the Republican Study Committee which is the largest Republican caucus in the House. It's about 80% of all Republicans in the House of Representatives are members of the Republican Study Committee. And, it sounds all highfalutin, and they're heavily embedded or intermeshed with the right-wing billionaires who basically own the Republican Party. It used to be called the old Koch Network because Charles Koch and David were kind of at the center of it. There are now many other billionaires who have gotten in on this, but... And it includes, the right-wing think tanks and things like that. And these are people who are, their principal goal is that billionaires should not have to pay taxes. Right now, the average billionaire in America is paying around 3% of their income in taxes. I just did my taxes over the weekend, and I can tell you I'm paying a hell of a lot more than 3%. In fact, I'm paying a hell of a lot more than 30%. And I think that that's true of a lot of people. And in fact, pretty much everybody who works is paying a hell of a lot more than 3%. But the billionaires that run the Republican Party, they want to make sure that their taxes do not go up. And the fastest and easiest and most efficient way to make that happen, from their point of view, in their world, in their minds, is to try and make sure that the government is not spending money. And that's why you've been hearing this mantra ever since Ronald Reagan was elected president, that I'm from the government and I'm here to help is the 9 most frightening words in the English language, and that there's no good people living in government, because if there were, they would have been offered higher salaries by private industry. And Reagan had all these ways of slamming government. The fact of the matter is, government is us. This is how we protect us. This is how we provide the soil in which we root business. By providing infrastructure, by providing a stable currency, by providing a court system for litigation, all these kind of things. By the way, breaking news, Trump's hush money trial, the paying off Stormy Daniels in order to try to win the 2016 election, and Alvin Bragg is trying to reframe this as an election interference trial, which it very much is. Trump probably would not have been elected had it come out that he had paid off a porn star and a Playboy bunny or a Playboy model for sex, and that he had, he paid them $130,000 to keep quiet about having had sex with him. And in the case of the Playboy model, that they had an affair that lasted several months. And all, you know, around the time that Milani was pregnant with Barron. I mean, it's despicable. So anyhow, that trial is going to begin on April 15th, and Trump is out there ranting about how they're just trying to get me, and you know, this guy's disgusting. So anyhow, back to this point of the trillionaires and the billionaires who don't want to pay more taxes. Their theory is that you know, if we can cut the size of government, then there will not be, you know, a government deficit. And we'll have no problems, and we'll be able to just, you know, do away with taxes and everything else. And so that's one. That's one of their arguments. The other argument that they're making, and this is coming out of the banks in New York by and large, is that, you know, there's trillions of dollars. I mean, there's like $2.5 trillion or a little more than $2 trillion right now in the Social Security Trust Fund. Now, that trust fund was only created in 1986, and it was designed to go away in the next couple of years. It was just to bridge the hump of the baby boomers retiring. But Republicans are acting like the Social Security Trust Fund being depleted is the end of the world. It's not. You know, the Social Security still has revenue coming in, plenty of it. But, you know, we do need to raise the cap. You know, right now, if you make over $160,000 a year, roughly, you no longer pay Social Security taxes, which is crazy. So, you know, millionaires, 100,000-aires and billionaires don't pay into Social Security anymore. So, the banksters in New York are looking at this and going, you know, there's $2 trillion sitting in that account. If that account was not invested in treasuries with the federal government, which is what Social Security does, and by the way, treasuries, you know, produce a nice rate of return for them. In fact, they have a special kind of treasury that's very, very safe. If those treasuries, you know, if that money was not in treasury bills, it could be on deposit at Chase or at U.S. Bank or at Wells Fargo or Bank of America. And if we had that money on, you know, $2 trillion in our deposits, and then we loaned it out, we could make a huge profit with it. We could just skim a thousandth of a percent off the top, and each one of us could walk home with a billion-dollar salary. I mean, this is how the banksters are looking at this. And so you've got the billionaires who don't want to pay taxes, and you've got the banksters who, you know, desperately want Social Security to be in their accounts rather than in the government accounts. Both of them going to Republican members of Congress and saying, let us give you some money, and in exchange for this, you will cut Social Security or privatize it. And if you and this is, by the way, this is how it worked with Medicare. With Medicare, the Republicans, well, it wasn't Republicans back in 1966, it was conservatives. Many of them were Democrats in the South who have since become Republicans. But back then, it was the racist, the Dixiecrats. They basically came to LBJ and said, we don't want black people to be able to use Social Security. Most of the black people in the South are very poor. I mean, you had a voter registration rate in 1966 in Mississippi of 6%. They weren't even registered to vote. So they said, you know, so what you should do with Social Security, and the only way we'll vote for it, is put a 20% hole in it. So that, you know, if somebody goes to the doctor, they got to pay 20% of their own bill. Or to the hospital or whatever. And that will keep poor people, thus black people in their minds, out of, you know, the white hospitals, the all-white hospitals. And that became part of Medicare, and it still is to this day. That's why we have these Medigap policies to fill in that 20% hole. So, you know, over time, what has happened is that the cost of Medicare has gone up, and that 20% hole has persisted, which creates, so in other words, it's not a really all-inclusive. It's not the good program it could be. It could, you know, Medicare could very easily be fixed. But obviously, the insurance industry does not want that to happen. So as a result, when George W. Bush wanted to privatize Medicare, instead of just privatizing it, and he wanted to privatize both Medicare and Social Security, he was unable to get Social Security privatization through Congress, but he got Medicare privatization through Congress through creating, Section C already existed for private accounts, but it was real, real hard to get into. It was very arcane and weird. So they just kind of rebooted that. They reinvented it as Medicare Advantage. And they, you know, then invited the big insurance companies in on the theory. And this was the theory that they sold the American people and everybody else, was that, you know, not to worry, this Medicare Advantage stuff, we're going to take care of everything. Everything will be wonderful. You're going to get, free dental and free hearing and free. And people think, oh, it's a better deal. It doesn't cost me anything. In fact, in some cases, they actually give you money. Plus, I get these extra benefits. The problem is that, 17, 18, 19% of the time, when you want services, when your doctor says you need an X-ray or an MRI, Medicare Advantage refuses to pay for it. And you're stuck with the bill if you actually want that diagnostic or surgical intervention. A lot of drugs they won't pay. I mean, it's just a miserable thing, these Medicare Advantage programs. And, of course, if Social Security was privatized, we would be being screwed by the banks the same way that people on Medicare Advantage are right now being screwed by the insurance companies. And many of them don't realize it because you don't get screwed until you get sick. But you get seriously screwed when you get sick by Medicare Advantage. So, here we are with this difficulty, with this challenge, with this problem. And the Republican Study Committee then comes along and says, well, we've got the solution. Let's just cut Social Security benefits by $1.5 trillion. We'll raise the retirement age. Right now it's 67. That was Ronald Reagan. He raised it from 65 to 67. Let's raise it from 67 to 69 or 70. Because don't you know people are living longer? Well, actually, American lifespan has gone down in the last 3 years, almost exclusively in red counties, by the way. But it's gone down. And, lifespan was never really an important indicator anyway. We say, well, in 1935, when Social Security was put into place, the average lifespan was 46 years or 52 years or whatever it was. It was, fairly low. And now it's, 72 or 73 years, something like that. Well, yeah, the average lifespan, but that includes infant mortality. And a lot of babies died of diseases that we now knock out with antibiotics and sophisticated drugs. And we've got great prenatal care. So it's not like old people didn't exist in 1935. There were plenty of old people. Franklin Roosevelt was one of them. Harry Truman was one. There was a lot of old people back then. Hell, Jefferson and Matt Adams Ben Franklin lived until their 80s, in some cases their late 80s. It's not unusual. It was the babies that were dying. But the Republicans are using these statistics that include infant mortality to say that, hey, we're living much longer than we used to. Well, yeah, average mortality is longer, or average lifespan is longer. But lifespan from retirement, in other words, if you measured the average lifespan of people who are today 65 years old compared to the average lifespan of people in 1935 who were 65 years old, they're not that different. It's a little bit better, and again, because of, advances in modern medicine and because fewer people are smoking. But it's not that big a deal. But the Republicans are using that as an excuse anyway. They will privatize Social Security. They will hand it off to the banks, as preparation for killing it off altogether. Once they hand it off to the banks, they don't need to kill it because it is dead. It will no longer be Social Security. It'll be a 401k kind of program. In fact, Ronald Reagan came up with 401ks as a way to replace Social Security. And this is the other argument that Republicans make. Oh, people don't need Social Security. They can have a 401k. When you're 20 years old, just start putting money in 401k. And in fact, Congress, the last year or the year before, made it mandatory or maybe this is on a state-by-state basis, because we just got hit by this because of New York, made it mandatory for every corporation to offer 401ks to all their employees.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
So anyhow, that was what Alex was going to be on about. We'll get him on a little later on, but I just wanted to fill you in on it. It's 18 minutes past the hour.
You're home for the Devil's Milo and the Mayor in the morning. Weekdays from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, WISS.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-421-9901. 800-421-9901. 800-421-9901. That's 800-421-9901.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If it seems you are being asked to donate pretty often these days, Lisa Schiller with the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau says you probably are, and she's hearing from residents about it.
They're getting aggressive calls, they're getting mailers in the mail asking for donations, and they want to know where their money is going.
Schiller says ask questions and understand the difference between a political action committee 527 and a nonprofit charity.
You have to really pay attention to name confusion, the use of the words police and firefighter, veterans, cancer. The name of the organization does not necessarily mean that the charity is engaged in these issues. And I think that's the important thing to remember.
Find more information at BBB.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But like when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's like to a former
Drew.
Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Mino on the mayor and the mayor on a Thursday.
Wait a minute, that's a whole other show.
He's been on my case.
Delete
all
that
whole.
One.
Oh my goodness.
This is a family show.
I know.
It's not that he's just been on my case.
No. The only show in history that didn't have one listener.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. And welcome back. All righty. So the news rolls along. This is a crazy alert. The Satanists are at it again. They're not really Satanists. It's the Satanic Temple does not believe in Satan. They believe in science, and you know, that's their thing. And so but you know, they're out there basically. I mean, Thomas Paine, one of the founders of this country, the guy who wrote Common Sense, this pamphlet that George Washington ordered be read to all of, and actually the one he wrote Common Sense. He wrote another one called The Crisis, The Current Crisis. And that was the one that George Washington ordered be read to all of the troops during the Revolutionary War. You know, it starts out with words to the effect of, these are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will now no doubt shrink from the service of his country, but tyranny and like hell is not easily overcome, right? And so here you go. So that he published, Thomas Paine published this book called The Rights of Man, as I recall. I believe, actually, The Rights of Man might have been his book about democracy. In any case, he wrote a book basically promoting atheism and saying that, you know, just coming right out and saying, I am not a Christian and, you know, I don't believe in God, Thomas Paine said. And when he published this book, suddenly he just was banned from public discourse. This was, you know, after the Jefferson election, post-1800. And I think it was around 1810, something like that. And it was so bad that when Paine died, only five people showed up for his funeral. He's buried in New York City. But anyhow, in Ottawa County, Michigan, the Ottawa County Board of Commissioners was taken over in 2022 by a bunch of right-wing zealots, Christian nationalists. They got six of the 11 seats on the board, and they started pushing anti-queer policies. They declared themselves a constitutional county, meaning that they said that sheriffs could refuse to enforce the law if they thought it was unconstitutional. I want to get Sheriff Mack on to talk about that. In 2023, last year, an Episcopal church leader, and what was happening was that the board chair, Joe Moss, this right-wing fundy, was only inviting hardcore right-wing fundamentalist pastors to do the invocation for the thing. So this Lutheran or Episcopal leader sued them. Well, that lawsuit is still in the courts. But in response to the suit, they came out with this policy that all you have to do is petition us, and we will guarantee you a spot in the rotation, essentially. So the Satanic Temple said, we'd like to petition. And their petition was granted, and they are going to do they have a tentative date to do the invocation on April 23rd. Well, this has completely flipped out the right-wingers. And on Thursday, Commissioner Jacob Bonema claimed that the Satanists shouldn't be allowed to deliver an invocation because it violated the supposed Christian values of the community. Right. He goes on, he says, from my perspective as a follower of Christ, my primary allegiance is to the kingdom of heaven. Well, then why are you on the county commission? Why aren't you on your church board? He goes on to say, I firmly believe that Satan's defeat is already sealed, and his aim is to defame and undermine all his righteous. The one Jesus taught us to pray, quack, quack, quack. I am convinced that his will is not for us to accommodate the requests of Satanists. Well, then go to work for a church instead of a county, right? In fact, I've got to share with you James Madison's thoughts on this after the break, because they are extensive and extraordinary. Stay with us. It's 27 minutes past the hour. We're also going to try and make
our
phones work.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
We'll be right back. Dr. Marty Goldstein, first of all, I got to tell you, my wife is one of your biggest fans. Tell us about your background.
Well, I graduated Cornell Vet School in 1973, but I had my own conditions that were genetically based. I was not eating well. Conventional medicine had no answer. I started to eat well. I got better. And that was the wake-up call to then apply it to what a dog and a cat should be really eating. Most of the pet food industry is not biologically appropriate to what a dog and a cat would eat, period.
Generally speaking, what are the best things that you can feed your dog?
If they're healthy, well-to-do, and they don't have any medical conditions, about 80% meat and the rest some vegetation.
What should you avoid feeding your dog?
Meat byproducts are not really meat. I don't even want to mention what they contain.
What makes Dr. Marty's dog food different from all the other premium dog foods out there?
Preservatives.
Yeah.
My food is preservative-free. There's many of the foods out there have preservatives which destroy the intestinal flora, and they are immune suppressive. My food meets all APCO requirements with only food. There's no additives. So we are literally simulating what a dog and or a cat would eat in nature with this. It's called food. What a concept.
Yeah, what a concept.
One thing that brings me joy is not only how much they love this, but how well they're doing just through the food. I mean, my life is complete. Well, that's all I can say.
That's great. Thank you, Marty.
It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Great talking with you. For a limited time, I can get you 54% off Nature's Blend and a free pack of premium dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom, drmartypets.com/THOM, or text Tom to 511-511. Message and data rates may apply.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. There will be legal challenges, but Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill establishing one of the country's most restrictive social media bans for minors.
Being buried in those devices all day is not the best way to grow up.
It would ban social media accounts for those under age 14 and require parental permission for 14 and 15-year-olds. Florida House Speaker Paul Renner says it does not target speech.
What we have addressed is the addictive features that are at the heart of why children stay on these platforms for hours and hours on end.
The law takes effect January 1st. A mixed day in courts in New York City for Donald Trump. An appeals court slashed by more than half the amount he'll have to put up for a bond to appeal the business fraud judgment against him and gave him 10 days to do it. Another judge ruled his hush money trial will begin April 15th. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Protesters say they might sue the city of Milwaukee over restrictions during the Republican National Convention in July. Demonstrations inside the convention's general security zone would have to march along a designated parade route and use a city-owned speaker's platform, which might be as far away from Fiserv Forum as a quarter mile. Only two members of the Wisconsin legislature are considered working class. That's according to recent research from Duke University and Loyola University Chicago. It may explain why voters feel their representatives are out of touch.
Because our elected officials don't really come from the same set of backgrounds that most Americans come from.
Eric Hansen is one of the study's co-authors. Those working class lawmakers, by the way, are Senator Robert Wirch and Representative Dave Maxey. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain in upper 40s for the overnight with gusty southeast winds. Some of that rain will be locally heavy. Rain will end Tuesday afternoon. Cloudy skies, lower 50s by lunchtime, will fall to the mid-40s by the end of the day. Currently 46 degrees.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This is National Let's Laugh Day. I think laughter is truly the best medicine. What makes you laugh the hardest? My family members, my kids are funny. My dad makes me laugh. My wife makes me laugh. Conrad makes me laugh. I think one of the most important things that we can do in life is laugh. Personally, comedy's gotten me through some very tough times. It's great therapy.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Hey, if you like the rants that I open the show with every day, They're typically published over at HartmanReport.com. Check it out. Say when. Did you know that 35% of adults report experiencing poor sleep quality? I know how you can transform your sleep. Cozy Earth. Discover the secret to better sleep with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. And just for my listeners, an exclusive offer. Use the code TOM, T-H-O-M, for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology, adapting to your body's needs, ensuring a sleep experience tailored to you. Louise and I love Cozy Earth. They use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness, inviting you to sink into a world of comfort. Worried about commitment? Cozy Earth stands by the quality and the longevity of their products. Enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty in all purchases. That's a decade of unparalleled comfort and support. Incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can enhance your sleep quality and overall wellness. Treat yourself to ultimate comfort with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear. Make sleep, better sleep, health a priority. Go to CozyEarth.com and use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, for 35% off. Upgrade your nights, transform your days with Cozy Earth. And welcome back. All righty. So I was telling you about the Satanic Temple and how they're very much, they're all across the country, they're doing this good stuff, frankly, in my opinion. And I'm no fan of Satan either, but, they aren't either. They just kind of use the, they're exploiting Satan, shall we say. In fact, the Bender Bones, the fellow who is going to speak, who's going to do the invocation for the county, unless these right-wingers prevent him, he says, he said, I want to thank the county board and the Ottawa Impact Organization for their declaration of intent to uphold the values enshrined in our Constitution. He is an ordained minister of the Satanic Temple in West Michigan. He told the board in May, quote, our constitutional rights are our most cherished assets as United States citizens, and even more so as Satanists. The First Amendment states that Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion nor restricting the free exercise thereof. And, of course, you know, restricting the free exercise thereof is exactly what this county commission is trying to do. As I said, the simple solution, if he doesn't, if you think that your number one commitment in life is to Christ rather than to the county, then go to work for the church instead of the county. And number two, if you don't want Satanists to speak, if you don't want to have a satanic minister giving the invocation at your event, then don't have anybody give one. Which brings us to the father of the Constitution, James Madison, the guy who sat in the room and helped write the Constitution, spent 5 years studying constitutions all over the world. He was only in his mid-30s when this happened, a young man, very, very bright young man. And this is what he had to say. This is from an 1822 letter to Edward Livingston. He said, we are teaching the world the great truth, that governments do better without kings and nobles than with them. The merit will be doubled by the other lesson we are teaching the world, that religion flourishes in greater purity without than with the aid of government. Now, let me just put this in context. While Thomas Paine was an atheist, as I told you, Thomas Jefferson was close to being an atheist. He was a deist, as was Ben Franklin, many of the other founders, Benjamin Rush, George Mason. I mean, a bunch of them were deists. And the deists believed that there was some original thing that started the universe, some original consciousness or being or whatever. Something started it all. But it started the universe with a particular set of laws and rules, and that the universe has just been rolling along on those laws and rules, which would include evolution, ever since. And that there is no, like, conscious divinity that is intervening in the affairs of human beings. That, you know, you can honor that divinity, you can connect to that divinity, and Jefferson talked about this. In fact, Franklin talked, he called it the mystery. And talked about the feeling that he would get, like looking at the sky at night as a child, you know, the mystery, the religious experience. But by and large, the deists were not, you know, they did not believe in an active God. And so, but James Madison did. J- James Madison was, I believe he was a Presbyterian. I'd have to go back and look. He might have been a Congregationalist, but it was one or the other. And he was very into his church. He went every Sunday. Sometimes he would go twice to there were two services at this church. Sometimes he would go to both services. He taught Sunday school. He was very involved in his church throughout his life, James Madison. So this is not a guy who, like Thomas Paine or like Thomas Jefferson or like Ben Franklin, didn't believe in religion, didn't believe in Jesus. This was a guy who did. And so listen to what he had to say. In that same letter to Edward Livingston, he said, "I have no doubt that every new example will succeed, as every past one has done, in showing that religion and government will both exist in greater purity the less they are mixed together." James Madison was interested in protecting the government that he helped create, the Constitution that he was the major force in writing. But he was also very interested in protecting his church from the government. And I think that's kind of the great lesson here, you know, where the Satanic Temple comes in and says, you know, hey, you know, what about us? We're a religion too. And then the government says, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. So Madison also, I mean, this is how strongly Madison felt about this. This was also from the same letter. He said, "Is the appointment of chaplains to the two houses of Congress consistent with the Constitution and with the pure principle of religious freedom?" He asks in this letter to Edward Livingston. And then he answers himself. He said, in the strictness, the answer on both points must be in the negative. The establishment to the chaplainship to Congress is a palpable violation of equal rights as well as of constitutional principles. Now, Congress has had a chaplain since its beginning, and it continues to, right? There's still an official chaplain to Congress. And Madison didn't stop that, but he wanted to. He goes on. He continues in this letter. He says, "If religion consists in voluntary acts of individuals, singly or voluntarily associated, and it be proper that public functionaries, as well as their constituents, should discharge their religious duties, let them, like their constituents, do so at their own expense." Right? In other words, why is Congress paying a salary to a chaplain when we're not supposed to support religion? We're not supposed to stop it either. We're supposed to be neutral. He goes on, "How small a contribution from each member of Congress would suffice for that purpose!" Exclamation mark. He said, "How would it be in its principle? How just would it be in its principle?" Exclamation mark. "How noble in its exemplary sacrifice to the genius of the Constitution and the divine right of conscience!" Exclamation mark. He's talking about, okay, members of Congress, if you want to have a chaplain, pay for him yourself. Take, you know, pass the collection plate. He goes on to say, "Why should the expense of a religious worship be allowed for the legislature be paid by the public more than that for the executive or judiciary branch of the government?" In a separate letter that he wrote to Edward Everett on March 18, 1823, James Madison said, the settled opinion here, and by the way, there was a major religious revival in the 1810s and the early 1820s, and this was 1823. This was kind of on the back end of that. That's why nobody showed up for Thomas Paine's funeral. So anyhow, he writes to Edward Everett. He said, "The settled opinion here is that religion is essentially distinct from civil government and exempt from its cognizance, and that a connection between them is injurious to both." So, you know, in my mind, you know, good on the Satanic Temple for what they're doing, for bringing this, you know, highlighting this. I'll just tell you one last story about this. The favorite quote of Republicans, one of their favorite quotes, you will find at the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. It's carved in the wall of the Jefferson Memorial. And it says, "I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny imposed upon the mind of man." And the Republicans and the religious nuts and the church people, they love to quote that. Ah, Jefferson talked about the altar of God, and he talked about tyranny. And, you know, it's like he must be a religious guy, right? But what's missing from the Jefferson Memorial and what's missing from the Republicans and what's missing from the churchmen is the letter that that came from. In other words, the context in which that quote exists. So let me share that with you. This is this was a letter to one of Jefferson's very closest friends. This is when he was vice president. It was 2 months before the election of 1800. He was John Adams' vice president. This was, it must have been September of 1800. The election was, you know, hot and heavy, right? Huge fight between Jefferson and John Adams, who was running for re-election. And Jefferson was challenging him. And in the middle of this battle royale, I mean, and they hadn't talked to each other in 2 years, ever since John Adams in 1798 got past the Alien Sedition Acts and imprisoned 18 newspaper publishers, shut down 18 newspapers that had said bad things about him. And that was when Jefferson walked out of the White House and never came back. He literally never in person spoke to John Adams in his entire life. They later, you know, started a correspondence in their old age. But that was it. And he was vice president for 2 years. He didn't show up in the White House as vice president because he refused to talk to John Adams because John Adams was putting newspaper publishers in prison. So anyhow, in the midst of this huge, the Revolution of 1800, it was sometimes referred to. In fact, that's the title of the book by Dan Sisson and me, the American Revolution of 1800, about that election. In the middle of that election and the heat of that election, Thomas Jefferson writes this letter to his good friend Ben Rush, who was also a deist. He was a doctor. He was a physician. He writes, "Dear Sir, I promised you a letter on Christianity, which I have not forgotten." He said, "I do not know that it would reconcile the genus irritable vatum," which is, you know, Latin for the angry priests, "who are all in arms against me. Their hostility is on too interesting a ground to be softened." He goes on to say, "The delusion on the clause of the Constitution," now he's talking about the First Amendment, right, the protection against government involvement in religion or religious involvement in government. He said, "The delusion on the clause of the Constitution, which while it secured the freedom of the press, covered also the freedom of religion, has given the clergy a very favorite hope of obtaining an establishment of a particular form of Christianity throughout the United States. And as every sect believes its own form the one true one, every one perhaps hoped for his own, but especially the Episcopalians and the Congregationalists." And then here's the punchline that got carved into the wall of the Jefferson Memorial. Again, he's talking about the priests thinking they can take over government. And he said, "The returning good sense of our country," and what he's talking about there is the probability that he's going to get elected president rather than John Adams, who was a religious man. He says, "The returning good sense of our country threatens abortion to their hopes. And the preachers believe that any portion of power confided to me, such as being elected president, will be exerted in opposition to their schemes. And they believe rightly, for I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. But this is all they have to fear from me, and enough, too, in their opinion." So now you have, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Jefferson was, shall we say, outspoken about that. He when he talked about the Virginia law that he authored, which became the premise for the First Amendment, he talks about how, you know, they wanted the words Jesus Christ inserted into the First Amendment, and he blocked that from happening. So he says, "The insertion was rejected by a great majority in proof that they meant to comprehend within the mantle of its protection, the First Amendment, the Jew and the Gentile, the Christian and the Mohammedan, the Hindu and the infidel of every denomination." Bingo. That's what the founders had to say about this. Up next, the red state's coming for no-fault divorces. You betcha.
Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
I'll tell you about that in 4 minutes or 5 minutes. Stay with us.
Your home for the Devils and the Mayor in the morning. Weekday afternoons weekdays from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, WISS.
Did you know a lot of popular dog food brands have whole teams devoted to making their food as addictive as possible? And they often use chemical flavorings to mask ingredients that are awful for your dog, which can lead to problems for your pup, like low energy, skin issues, and digestion problems. Here's the thing. Your dog deserves food that tastes incredible and makes them feel incredible, too. That's why I love feeding my dogs Blue and Chewy, Nature's Blend. It's a premium dog food formulated by Dr. Marty, a veterinarian called the Miracle Worker by Forbes magazine. It has zero artificial preservatives, flavors, or additives. Instead, turkey, beef, salmon, duck, and beef liver are the first five ingredients. So dogs naturally love the flavor. When we feed Blue and Chewy Nature's Blend, they just love it. Today, you can get up to 54% off your first order of Nature's Blend, plus a free bag of Tilly's Treasures, their best-selling beef liver dog treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom to 511-511. That's drmartypets.com/THOM. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If it seems you are being asked to donate pretty often these days, Lisa Schiller with the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau says you probably are, and she's hearing from residents about it.
They're getting aggressive calls, they're getting mailers in the mail asking for donations, and they want to know where their money is going.
Schiller says ask questions and understand the difference between a political action committee 527 and a nonprofit charity.
You have to really pay attention to name confusion. The use of the words police and firefighter, veterans, cancer. The name of the organization does not necessarily mean that the charity is engaged in these issues. And I think that's the important thing to remember.
Find more information at BBB.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dudad.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun? Let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
Let's pull out of this movie theater.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station. I didn't, to the
you drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
Oh. You do look like a...
Beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it. Did you know that a lot of popular dog food brands have whole teams devoted to making their food as addictive as possible? And they often use chemical flavorings to mask ingredients that are awful for your dog, which can lead to problems for your pup, like low energy, skin issues, and digestion problems. Here's the thing. Our dogs, Blue and Chewy, deserve food that tastes incredible and makes them feel incredible, too. And your dog does, too. That's why we love feeding Nature's Blend, a premium dog food formulated by Dr. Marty, to our dogs, Blue and Chewy. Dr. Marty is the veterinarian called the miracle worker by Forbes magazine, and Nature's Blend has zero artificial preservatives, flavors, or additives. Instead, turkey, beef, salmon, duck, and beef liver are the first five ingredients. So dogs naturally love the flavor of Nature's Blend. Today, you can get up to 54% off on your first order of Nature's Blend, plus a free bag of Tilly's Treasures, their best-selling beef liver treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom, T-H-O-M, to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Welcome back. 54 minutes past the hour. Just in time for my rant, right? I've been talking here about how the founders were very, very clear in their minds that religion should be in one side of the world and government should be on the other, you know, metaphorically speaking, that there should be no connection between the two, that if Congress even wants to have a chaplain, they should pass the plate to pay for the chaplain, or it should be a voluntary position, that government should never pay money to churches. The one thing I forgot to add to that was that James Madison, you know, the father of the Constitution and the third, or, you know, fourth president of the United States, one, two, three, four. Yeah, I think so. Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison. Yes, fourth president. His first veto in office, and it was in his first weeks in office when he became president after Jefferson. So it would have been, you know, in the spring of 1809, I guess. His first veto was a bill in Congress to give money to a large church in Washington, D.C. to provide housing and clothing and food and education to homeless people, to the poor. And Madison, who you know, was a big fan of Christianity and Jesus and, hey, let's take care of everybody, you know, vetoed that and said it would establish a precedent of the government giving money to churches, which should never, ever, ever happen. Of course, you know, all that got brought back with George Herbert Walker Bush's 1,000 Points of Light program, which explicitly began giving money to churches. Well, anyhow, now Trump has taken this to the next step. It's coming up on Holy Week here. Maybe we're already in it. I guess we are. Truth Social, he said, it is ironic that Christ walked through his greatest persecution the very week they are trying to steal your property from you. But have you seen this verse? Said a wicked man, this is from the Bible, they have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. So here's Trump, just moments ago, comparing himself to Jesus. I don't think Jesus got convicted of rape, right? I don't think Jesus, you know, ever was convicted of fraud, of stealing from the people of the state of New York or any other state, for that matter, of you know, Jerusalem or Jericho or something. So it just doesn't seem like Donald Trump and Jesus would have much in common, you know? Anyway, all right, red states coming for no-fault divorce. The Supreme Court looking at Mifepristone. Lots of stuff coming up. Stay with us.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money. So join the ranks of the successful people that finished their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. That's 800-640-6298.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
Tuesday on Matt Nair on Air. Todd Alba joins the show. Then we hear from the League of Women Voters about the two referendum on the April 2nd ballot. Don't miss it.
Hey, it's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke with the Midwest Farm Report. Heard weekday mornings at 5 right here on WISS. If you like food, if you like farmers, tune in and learn. 5 a.m. on Air Support 93.3 FM and 1100 a.m. Oshkosh.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support. WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Donald Trump went 1-for-2 Monday in court.